3. Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Verse 1 of Ephesians, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be one's name among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever that man manifests is light. And therefore he said, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we now commit this moment of reflection upon thy word. Speak to us. Grant us a teachable spirit. Whatever thy word impresses upon us, may it serve as a warning to us and also a grace to take heed of thy word, that we may be changed from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to title this passage, "How Christians Live a Holy and Righteous Life." It is difficult, as we can imagine, that after several, from the day one of our Christian life, it's easy to surrender one's life to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what he promises. But living a true, pure, holy life is a big battle. And one of that process is the prayer of the saints. In this passage, in Ephesians chapter 5, 1-14, Paul reminds us that we who have accepted Christ are the visible representation of Christ as his church in this world. We are commanded to shine as lights that illuminates not only our neighborhood, but everywhere we go. And our brothers and sisters around the world do the same thing. And so when the light of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ shines, the world sees Jesus Christ. And he speaks to that particular fellowship, to that particular group of believers, wherever they are. And we love to see that in the church. And the entrance of God's word, when it is being preached, when it is being read, it brings lights to our individual soul and to others as well, just as in this case. And as we shine as lights, we shall see the power of God's word resulting in blessings and awesome changes, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Note that therefore, in verse 5, in verse 1 of this passage, "But ye therefore, followers of God, as dear children," the therefore there refers to the previous passage, which is in chapter 4. It refers back into the whole passage of chapter 4. The believer has a new position in that passage, in chapter 4. And there is the position of a new relationship, which is dear children of God. The believer has that position. Not only children of God, but they are dearly beloved of God. And then the second position they have is of the new fellowship as followers of God. This Greek word, which is translated as followers, means to imitate. That's why in this first verse, "Be ye therefore followers of Christ," it can also be said, "Be ye therefore imitators of Christ." And we get the word mimic from this word, the word mimic, follow. And also the word live in chapter 4, verse 1, if you look at it with me, "Therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk," some translations, "that you live worthy of the vocation wherein you are called." So that word live in some of the translation is also a Greek word, which is, I carry that word, paripateo. It means to walk. So there are three worthy ways of walk that we will try to meditate tonight. And the first one is that we should walk in love. Verses 1 and 2 emphasizes that. If we go back to it, it says, "Be you followers of God, be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor or aroma." The question to ask tonight is that who is the one that believers should imitate in verse 1? Well, it's very, very clear there, isn't it? Believers are admonished to model their lives after God. Be followers of God as their children or dearly beloved of God. And to practice love, not just those who are touching our lives through the kindness of others, also because it comes from the love of Christ, but we should not follow exactly that person, but exactly what Christ taught, how to love others. And he's the only model for love in this world, because the love of the world chooses. It only chooses whom to love, isn't it? As you can observe. But the love of Jesus never chooses. He loves to the uttermost, and he saved to the uttermost. And you can never exhaust his love. It's always there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting love." That's where the reservoir of God's love in Christ Jesus. As God's children, we are unable to imitate him because we have the power and the means to imitate him. We cannot just mimic him. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us, who indwells us. Christ's great love for us led him to sacrifice himself. In other words, he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that we might live. Not just live per se, physically, but live a life of righteousness and holiness. And a people witness for him. So salvation is not only granted to pacify us and to enjoy salvation per se, but to be a faithful witness to Him, so that those who are still outside of His grace can be loved through His love in us, so that they will see Him as we love others. That's the only way to mimic the love of God, is through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. A love that goes beyond affection to self-sacrificing love. It's easy to say I love you to others, but love is costly. You must demonstrate it, isn't it? Since we cannot see God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ models love for us. That's why God sent His beloved Son into the world, that we might see the love of God demonstrated in His life. What did it mean for Jesus to express His love for us? Well, in verse 2, it says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor or aroma. This indicates in verse 2 that He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. This sweet-smelling savor in verse 2 refers to the Old Testament sacrificial system, where a sacrifice was a pleasant aroma to God because it indicated the one who offers it by faith. So there is a willingness on that person to offer that sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice that he offers is perfect. There's no blemish. And of course, these sacrifices in the Old Testament never forgive sin, isn't it? It only points us to the real Lamb of God, who is the real sacrifice, who can take away the sins of the world. And therefore, to walk in love and to continue to walk in love, the only way you can help us to continue doing this is to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Not only we can walk in love, but we are commanded to walk in moral purity or holiness. In verse 2, walk in love. In verse 3, I should say, but fornication, up to verse 6, but fornication in all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be one's name among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no warmonger, no unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater, hath no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. As God's children, we should avoid all forms of impurity. That includes sexual impurity and also other vices that relates to it, that contribute to this. And instead, be characterized by thanksgiving. So when we thank God for all the benefits that He has done to us on our behalf, that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God, because that is what He requires among His people. Psalm 103 says to that effect, "Oh, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefit, who hath forgiven all thy iniquities, who hath healed all thy diseases. He hath also crowned thy head with His goodness and tender mercies." That is to me a big reservoir of praises and thanksgiving to God. Only those who have been cleansed by God through His, through the precious blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, can be part of the kingdom of God. Others who are doomed to wrath, those who practice these immoral practices, which were enumerated, purity is only possible when there is a constant seeking of the will of God. Look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. That is what Paul is exhorting these Ephesians, Christians. We should continue to examine ourselves what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then in verse 15, which I did not continue to read, but it's also a reference that, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we are commanded to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We should seek wisdom and guidance from the Lord, because we cannot develop our own wisdom and guidance, but only through the wisdom and guidance from God. The Christian who would imitate Christ and thus be part of His body must be pure. No doubt about that. Because even those who consider iniquity in their hearts, God will not listen to their prayer. And we can feel that as well. When we are not right with God, even though how many times we pray, God will not listen to that prayer. Because God requires purity of heart. Paul lists sins to be avoided. In verse 3, one is there, fornication, and uncleanness and covetousness. Let not be one's name among you as becometh saints or as saints. I try to copy some of the list in other version. The sins that to be avoided is the obscene stories. Obscene stories that we hear and portrayed in all parts of media. The foolish talk that we hear from others. And the foolish talk as well that are also being overheard in the church. Coarse jokes. There are some people or preacher who try to wake up people by using jokes or funny stories to wake up people. I have heard a lot of jokes like that, but they don't bring glory to God, but most often they are just jokes to just wake up people, but not get to the point. So these people are called idolaters, and we must avoid these idolaters. Ephesians 4:31, if you're going to look at them, look at that verse in Ephesians, in the previous chapter, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So those are other impurity that should not be part of God's people's language or part of our life. Although sometimes, as you can see, there are people who can, when they are offended, they cannot forget those offense because they will hurt them. I can forgive, others will say, but I cannot forget. So this bitterness, if we are the type of people who try to hide grudges when we are offended, it should not be part of that experience. We must easily forgive. And the wrath and the anger that follows after that. And clamor. Clamoring for popularity, for recognition, is also a temptation. Of course, there is a human nature to clamor for recognition, but If it is for recognition's sake, it does not promote the glory of God. It just promotes that person's interests. And all types of evil speaking should not be part of the Christian's behavior. But be put away from you with all malice, all malicious talk. And this is the cure for that. In verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that is the type of behavior that God expects of us, to love one another with tender-heartedness, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Is there something that troubles us at this point? Is there something that needs to be confessed before God? Because we cannot continue to be affected, to live a pure life, a holy life, if we continue to hold on to those impurities and other malice and foolish talks that are enumerated here. We must be willing to confess them at any cost, even before we part ways tonight. We should respond to God whenever the need to confess our sin, and whenever there is an exposition of those sin in our lives, we must be willing to confess those sins. And someone that we need to forgive, we should ask God this, for strength and the grace to forgive them, even in our prayer. What do you think is another question that we might ask ourselves so that we could motivate ourselves how to do this? What motivates the person whom Paul describes in verse 5 as idolater? He said, for this you know, in verse 5, that no warmonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Well, verse 5, the idolater does not refer to a person who is periodically or continually sin, but one is driven by idolatry. In other words, his life is characterized by all those type of sin that has been mentioned. There is no other interest in his life. They are his idols. They are part of his life. He himself become an idol. Such a person has not, remember, that person has not accepted the blood of Christ or the sacrifice of Christ for forgiveness. He has no intention whatsoever to move to repentance. That's why that idolater will continue to experience isolation. There are idolaters in the church as well, not just outsiders. They refuse to surrender their lives to be cleansed, because sometimes it's difficult to surrender some of those idols in our lives. But if we only surrender some idols, those type of sin that beset us and does not bring glory to God, if we only surrender some of them, still it's not glorifying God. We must confess all sins to God, all forms of idolatry. Sometimes we tend to look at other people's point or faults, but we tend to forget that there are also idols, spots, sins that we don't recognize in our lives. Such a person has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, and worshiping the things of this world. You know, you don't have to be like what members of previous traditional religion like Roman Catholic, Roman Catholicism. You don't have to be one like that to be an idolater. But even to worship the things of this world. How can we worship the things of this world? The things of this world, which becomes our first priority in our lives, that drives us to have those things, to continually to be updated, to be more in passion, to be like the present attractive, that the world attractiveness that the world offers. We want to covet those things. And of course, if the material things of this world are only our main interest, the things that we need, the things that our family needs, and the expectation of our friends, and also more often than not, is the expectation of our families, and even the church that we belong to. Especially in this coming season, next month, this Christmas season. Sometimes if we don't have something to give to people, we are ashamed. Sometimes if we only give something that is not of value, we tend to be embarrassed to give. And so therefore, we try to aim for something that will please people so that we can give. This is a practice of idolatry, the worshipping of things in this world. So, instead of pursuing these things, we must therefore, in verse 1, be followers of Christ, or be followers of God as little children. And verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That is the type of life that we should have by continually asking God to give those kind of characteristic as followers of God. And then lastly, I want to point out to you the third worthy ways of walking is the walk in the light. Look at verse 8. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, how many of you have seen real diamonds? Maybe some of you have, yeah? But even the false diamonds are useless, even the real ones, without the light that comes from the light, even from the sunlight. These diamonds are useless without a light, because without light, they will not sparkle, isn't it? So, if you want to prove what I'm saying, take something that is false diamond. Hide it. It won't shine. Hide it under the table, it won't shine. But you put it under the sun or under the light, it will sparkle. Well, what I'm trying to suggest here is that the light of Christ, our Lord Jesus, is the only one who can make our lives shine. Amen. Because He is not only the Word that became flesh, the light in Him becomes the light of men. That's why we as Christians should not only feel secured in our salvation, but we should be walking as light, as a real testimony to the real light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be that the reason why our lives are not impacted to our neighborhood, because the light that's in us does not shine? Could it be that that might be something that we should explore tonight individually? Why am I not supposed to be a powerful impact to my friends, to my neighborhood, to those I'm trying to witness to? Because the light in Christ is not shining anymore. Because of what? Because of the sins that are there, that are enumerated. The sins of idolatry, the sins of covetousness, malice, anger, furiousness, unforgiving spirit, and all types of sin that are related to idolatry. The love of the things of this world. In fact, James said, if you love the things of this world, or loving the things of this world becomes an enemy of God. Well, you know what it means to love the things of this world. Once we become in love to the things of the world, then the love of Christ becomes cold in our hearts. That's why even the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, the lukewarmness of the churches is slowing a lot of churches to make that light shine so that their witness does not penetrate to the outside world because their lives are stuck to the light, to the love and interest in this world. Christ our Lord and His words should actually move us and reflect upon it. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffer the loss of his own soul? Well, our experience before as non-believers knows this verse. That's why we came to our Lord Jesus Christ to surrender all our sins, to seek forgiveness for all our sins, and begin to shine for Him. Question to ask, what do you think it means when Paul says that once believers were darkness, but now they are light? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, if you look in chapter 2, let's go back. This is what darkness is part of our lives before. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the princess of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, this is the big but, even though we experience this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. This is, in verse 4 to 6, this is our new position in Christ. But let's not go back to those past darkened history of our lives. But God is rich in mercy. Remember that. Even though our lives sometimes go back to those darkness, but God is rich in mercy, wherein He loves us. Even though we were dead in sins, but He quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And raise us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But now, you are light. Composing again those questions, what do you think it means when Paul says that once believers were darkness, but now are they are light? Well, it simply means that as people who have light from the Lord, our actions, our behavior should reflect our faith in Christ. It should model the characteristic of Christ and also the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. Paul uses this agricultural analogy with light as a plant bearing good fruit. So when we have light, when the light of Christ shines in us, it bears good fruit. But darkness, by contrast, bears no fruit. That's why we should not go back to our old ways of life, wherein walking according to the course of this world, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, walking according to the spirit of disobedience, walking according to the desire of the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, is great in love, and very liberal and gracious in His mercy. So as a result of God being rich in mercy, we have been quickened with Christ in verse 5. And we have been raised together with Christ in verse 6 of this Ephesians chapter 2. So what, in the end, what can you do that will help us to live what we believe according to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ? What can we practically do? Well, I would encourage us to go back in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the way how to respond to a life that walks in moral purity, that walks in love, and that walks in the light. We must always proving ourselves which way we are going. And we cannot do this on our own strength, in our own ability or our own strength, but by the help of Christ, responding to this beseeching continually by the Apostle Paul, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present our bodies or your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Dearly beloved, may this be our portion tonight, even as we pray for a walk in love, walk in moral purity, and walk in the light. This is the only way. In prayer as well, we must look unto God in prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that our minds, in our prayer, in our decision to be conformed to the will of Christ, must be uttered in prayer, because God cannot do that automatically to us. We must will the will of God by praying to Him. Although He knows what we need to call unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.
Amen.